actually right now. Mr. Rintoul, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Thanks for taking some time here. Scott, first and foremost, what the heck went wrong for the Lions last Friday night?
Everything. How much time you got? It was one of those games, fellas. It really was. And it wasn't any one facet of the team. It was everybody taking turns. It was offensive line not being able to get enough push and getting dominated by Calgary's defensive front. It was Jonathan Jennings at times missing reads. It was receivers dropping footballs. It was Chris Rainey fumbling to open the second half. It was defense jumping off side, you know, unabated on second and 10 when it would have been a two and out for the Stampeders. Instead, it turns into a 75-yard touchdown drive. So it was as team loss as losses get. And that's really the end of it for the BC Lions. They can't point at any one faction and say, if this had gone better, we would have won. It was everybody.
That's to me, that's a bit of a negative, Scott. While everybody wears it, I think the one common thing through all those different aspects of the game is they weren't mentally sharp. They weren't ready, or at least they didn't manage to execute in so many aspects of the game. When you have a big game and you come up small in all areas, that's got to be a level of concern.
Yeah, it certainly is. And at the same time, because it happens in the first half of the season and because you have a relatively young group overall on this roster, it can be looked at in a couple of ways. And really, we'll all spin our stories on it depending how they respond to it. If the BC Lions play a great football game this week and the next time they're faced with a similar challenge, whether it's a Calgary or an Edmonton or a Winnipeg and they're battling for a spot in the Western playoff race and they play well, we'll say, look, they saw what happened against an elite team that has been there before, and they saw the level they needed to get their games to, and they didn't make the same mistake twice. If it happens again, if they can't respond, if it knocks them down a couple of pegs, well, then we'll say maybe this team isn't all it was cracked up to be through the first seven games of the season.
Scott Rintoul joins us from TSN 1040 in Vancouver. The Lions are on the road to take on the Ottawa Redblacks. So far through eight games, the Lions are 5-3. They're a lot better than I expected them to be, Scott. Full disclosure, I thought this would be a struggling year for the Lions. Wally Buono, is this really just evidence that the wily old vet's coming back to the league and showing all these young whippersnappers that he's still one of the greatest coaches in this league's history?
Well, I think that's part of it, but I think there's a few other things involved as well. Let's put it this way. The general manager was pretty good to the head coach, and they happened to be the same guy. Some of the offseason acquisitions that Wally Buono make, while they didn't have a lot of sizzle, they didn't have the type of appeal on free agent day that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers made when they got some pretty big names and skill positions. He didn't have the sizzle, but Wally Buono got the steak. He got guys like Bryant Turner out of Winnipeg. He got guys like Mike Edom out of Hamilton. And while he might not be a household name in the CFL, Mike Edom represents an upgraded safety. Bryant Turner has given them excellent depth on the defensive line. They found guys like Lucchez Purifoy, who has been absolutely fantastic on defense at the Sam position. I'm not sure if you've had an opportunity to watch this young man play, but he is legit in terms of talent. So he's been able to find guys as a general manager. Certainly he's a great head coach, but you're also seeing the product of having a young quarterback who, while he's not perfect week in, week out, possesses some pretty amazing abilities that CFL quarterbacks over the decades have shown, you know, they result in wins. And for Jonathan Jennings, they result in big plays. He pushes the ball downfield. He can do some pretty special things with his legs. And he's only 14 regular season starts into his career. There's still a lot of upside with Jonathan Jennings to come.
Yeah, what was the story with Jennings against the Stamps? There was probably some throws he wasn't very good on, but did the Stamps are pretty good too. Did they take some stuff away from him?
Yeah, I think they took a little bit away. I think also the fact the running game didn't get going early in this game allowed the Stampeders to pin their ears back at times. Lions weren't great on first down against the Stampeders, and that certainly hurt when you're going second and long the majority of the ball game. And quite frankly, some of his receivers drop footballs. Yeah. Brian Burnham has seemingly caught everything thrown his way through the productive stretch the Lions were on prior to that thud last week at BC Place. He dropped a ball over the middle on the Lions' opening drive that he just doesn't normally drop. And Manny Arsenault had a couple of plays downfield. He had another second and 10 conversion that Jonathan Jennings, I mean, he dropped it into a bucket. He couldn't have placed it any better there himself. He'd run down the field and put it in Manny Arsenault's hands. And those guys have been coming up with big plays for the Lions, but they didn't make those plays last week. So as much as Jonathan Jennings' numbers look pretty crooked from a week ago, it was no question not on him entirely. Some of it's for him to take the blame on, but his receivers who've been making plays, they just didn't make enough of them.
joined by Scott Runtle of TSN 1040, taking a look at the BC Lions, who are in Ottawa to take on the Red Blacks tomorrow night, kickoff just after 5:30 Edmonton time. Scott, is there a buzz in Vancouver about the BC Lions, or what do they have to do to make their fan base kind of wake up and realize this is a pretty good team on the field?
Well, I think they are doing that, and I think there's more of a buzz, but like you see with a number of brands in bigger markets, if they get damaged, it takes a while to come back. And the Lions are doing what they can. They're playing exciting football for the most part. Again, that Calgary game aside, they've been a fun team to watch. They've been a big play team this season. So you are hearing more people talk about Jonathan Jennings and the BC Lions, but it's a funny market as well. Vancouver traditionally does not attend games very well in the summer months, and that's the case against the Calgary Stampeders because, guys, you couldn't have had a bigger game for August. First play season series on the line, the game 3 weeks before went, you know, into overtime and they lost 44-41. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better CFL game to lead you into that, but not enough people came to the game relative to other years, and it just shows it's going to be a bit of a slow process. Now, the good thing for the Lions is that once people get back on their regular schedules after Labor Day, that's when they have the majority of their home games. Lions, after this Ontario swing, they'll play Ottawa tomorrow night, Toronto next Wednesday. They'll have already put six road games in the books, so they only have three to go. They've got a backloaded home schedule, and if they can continue to play the type of exciting football that they have for the majority of their first eight games, then I would think that will translate into more fans in the stands eventually.
Yeah, I think you're right, Scott. You know, that effort was a little bit out of character. The Lions have been better than most people thought they would be. I think everybody can agree on that. So one bad game, yeah, let's wait and see. Now, the Red Blacks, they've been all over the place. They're not very good lately either, but if Harris is going at quarterback, they can kick your butt around the block pretty fast as well. So how do you prepare for a Red Blacks team that's been all over the place?
Well, I think that's a great point. With Trevor Harris in the lineup, they have been sensational this year. 9 touchdowns, 1 interception, big plays all over the field from Trevor Harris, and he has operated the offense far more efficiently than Henry Burris has this year. You look at the receiving core they have 4 guys who can legitimately say, yep, I'm a 1,000-yard receiver. Their running game hasn't always been that strong, but when you get the ball in the hands of the likes of a Chris Williams underneath or on quick out pattern, Brad Sinopoli's excellent after the catch as well. The folks in BC know what Ernest Jackson can do, and he certainly did it last year for the Ottawa Redblacks. That's a dangerous, dangerous group.
Yeah.
The one thing the Lions can say in terms of experience, and it's recent and it is against a different team, is that they saw the return of Zach Kolaros a couple of weeks ago. Now, that was a man who hadn't played in almost a year in the CFL. It's not the same deal with Trevor Harris, but they have had a game where all of the talk has been about the other guy coming back, about how much better the offense is going to work, and they rose to the challenge. It was a shootout in the end. They won it late, but they've seen that type of game before.
Scott, the last one for me is run by Scott Runtle from TSN 1040. Taking a look at just the CFL in general, lots has been made about the Saskatchewan Roughriders so far in 2016. Their off-the-field antics, some of their struggles on the field. You'll be hard-pressed to find anyone in Alberta that feels bad for Chris Jones and the Riders, but as someone who covers a team in this league, what have you made of what's been a very bizarre 2016 so far for the Riders?
Yeah, it has been, both on and off the field, and I'm surprised they're this bad in terms of their record. I didn't think that Saskatchewan was going to be a playoff team this year. They had too much of a roster overhaul to think that was going to happen. I think that's going to be a team next year if they can get things in order with, you know, their defense. And Chris Jones is a guy who's done that before. That next year maybe they're a much more difficult team to deal with. And that's what it's really about because of that new stadium opening up next year. It's the off-field violations, quite honestly, that have really shocked me with some of the blatant, you know, rule violations that Chris Jones and the Saskatchewan Roughriders have engaged in this year. That's what has really surprised me more than anything this year. But you're right. There's no good story when you're talking about them so far this year.
Ratio? What ratio? Yeah, you know what? Like Maj said, nobody here is crying too long and hard at night for Chris Jones. They'll be better. One last one for me. I know Wally wants to take on Ottawa first, and that's the way you got to do it as a coach. You go in against a terrific young quarterback in Harris. The other thing is, it looks like on the back end of that, you're going to get Ricky Ray, too.
Yeah, it certainly does. And that'll be 3 or 4 weeks that the Lions see an excellent quarterback in this league come back to face them for the first time. And, again, against Zach Kolaros, you saw him knock a little bit of rust off early, and then, boy, was he great late in that game. They'll hope that Trevor Harris has some rust early in the game, and they'll hope to make it look like he does more than anything else. And then Ricky Ray as well next week. You're right. And they've seen him once this year, maybe a little bit of revenge on their mind for a game the Lions felt they played pretty well in, certainly in the first half, but let get away because of a couple of sloppy turnovers and missed opportunities defensively as well. So you're right. It's funny that sometimes it just goes that way for a team where, you know, the same storyline seems to occur. It won't be an easy one next Wednesday in Toronto, but they got to take care of this one first, especially because they're staying out here. They're not flying back to the West Coast. They're staying in Ontario. I know that the leaders of the team have a few team activities planned, those bonding opportunities that you get with an extended road trip, but those are a whole lot more fun to enjoy if you can win a game.
Absolutely. Scott, we appreciate your time. Thanks for this. Have a good call tomorrow when the Lions take on the Red Blacks.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Scott Rintoul, the voice of the BC Lions.